Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity.
You're listening now live to The Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokour, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my inner standing, my walk, my talk, my teachings, my sharings, my offerings, my divine, all-blessed manifestation here and now in this most present moment in time and space. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother Father Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Thursday, May 3rd, 2012, and I am indeed emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince. Thai Emeka, Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, in the legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I appreciate you. I am humbled and honored in service for you, each and every one of you who continue to join me, to support me in love, in truth, in authenticity here for the Power Lunch live at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio and always in archive at your leisure and convenience. My show page is www.blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/The Divine Prince. I remember to put that little hyphen, that subtraction mark between The Divine Prince. My live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. If you do have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue. A little light will come on, and I will be more than happy to respond to you today at this hour. Be mindful if you missed the show on yesterday. There's a lot going on, and I won't repeat it all right now due to the time. But I am only doing 30-minute shows this month for various reasons. One of the main reasons is that we are filming The Tomb, a feature movie with Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 50 Cent here in New Orleans. And I do have an ongoing part in that, which will require me to be available for at least 10-day blocks at a time. So the most I will be able to do right now and balance all of that is the 30-minute shows. But it was important that I reconnect after being off for a period of time, dealing with some personal issues within our community. One of our members, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, is still in the healing process. And, of course, all the events, the International Jazz Day, and all the other things that are going on, Jazz Festival here in New Orleans. So I'm overwhelmed, as always, in terms of schedule. So we're going to keep it 30 minutes, probably until the end of the month. Now, there may be a possibility I'll go back to two-hour format sooner than that. And, of course, I will post that and make that available to you on my Facebook at facebook.com/thedivineprince. I want to talk about a topic today that is really intense for me, personal for me. And then I woke up this morning to several posts of a like vibration, if you will. And Spirit spoke clearly to me. And I guess I can say spoke. Passage to Haiti, to the shores of America, and continues to re-illustrate sort of a scenario for me that is often overlooked, under-discussed, if you will, as it relates to consciousness and Pan-African or ATR spirituality. It's specifically for the African-American. Those who are African, who still have their connection to Africa, any part of Africa, give thanks, Ayibobo. And that energy carried for many through the Middle Passage into the Caribbean, into Haiti, into Brazil, into South America, and particularly Haiti, where we continue to meditate on and remember and understand the Haitian Revolution, which is the first successful and only successful slave revolt, but first successful social uprising, if you will, conscious movement, if you will, revolution, if you will, in the New Americas. For me, that is a center block, a foundation stone to my teaching, to my house, to my ministry, to my practice in Voodoo, Hoodoo, and Obeya, to the way I live my life. Often being thrown into the front line, being thrown into the heat of the fire, where others dare not tread for political reasons, economic reasons, issues of personal comfort, which takes me to one of the posts which confirmed for me and also inspired for me that I was on to something. Sister Claudette Smith from here in New Orleans posted a beautiful Ashanti mask, and she posted a note with it. And she asked the question, have we sacrificed the masses on the altar of self-preservation? Y'all know what that means. Have we given up our commitment to culture, to grassroots movement, to civil rights movement, to spirituality and religious movement for our own comfort, to make sure our own mortgage gets paid, our own car notes get paid, our own children's friends and family, you know, needs are taken care of. You know the old American do for me and mine approach. Have we sacrificed true authentic revolution, true authentic movement forward in the name of doing for me and mine? In the face of a growing, escalating calamity of murder and death in the city of New Orleans, have we sacrificed doing what is right in the name of self-preservation? Now, that's her question, and of course I added, you know, I got emotional, and I added a little bit more of my own there, so let me go back. She asked, have we sacrificed the masses on the altar of self-preservation, or do we think we somehow can continue down this path without paying for our neglect? Study your history. It is not the poor who fail to survive. It is not the poor who fail to survive. Those with nothing always know how to function during hard times. That's our story. That's the Middle Passage. That's enslavement. That's Jim Crow. That's the civil rights and the lynching, and that's what we still continue to live with and deal with today. And she continues on, for them, all of life has been hard. So hard times is just another day for those of us who live hard times. It will be our children and grandchildren that fail to make the cut, she continues. That's a new perspective on why it is important for all of our people to have a good life. And I read her post, and I reposted it about an hour ago, and it's so in line with where Spirit took me today, hence the show title, No Validation for the African Born in America, NATR. Since before the Middle Passage, there has been a continued conscious effort. Conspiracy often suggests something that may or may not be real, so I don't like that word. This is a conscious effort to undo the African, not just contribution, the African gift of spirituality and religion in the world. To bastardize any attempt to manifest that connection outside of the ordained, structured religious entities, if you will, given by the oppressor. First it was the Catholic Church, and then it was the Protestant Church, and so on and so forth, and the Muslims, Islam, and so on. But even now, today, as we continue to see this outcry, if you will, that's walking away from Christianity, from Islam, from Judaism, from the mainstream oppressors' doctrines, and people seeking something else. Sometimes that something else is still a shadow of the oppressor's religion, Wicca and paganism and New Age metaphysics and astrology and all these things that are still dominated and controlled by the oppressor. But you even now see a move towards taking over ATR, a move that started with the Middle Passage as a part of controlling our religious connection, but also gave a glimmer of hope to allowing that to survive, particularly when we look at Cuba, which because of the Catholic Church and because of the constructs, and because of their ill-balanced thinking at that time, thought that, you know, we'll allow them to keep a little bit of theirs and we'll mix a little bit of ours in, and eventually they will come over to Catholicism. And we know many did. But it also left open the gateway for many more to strongly adhere to the African-based traditions under brutal conditioning. We go back to the Haitian Revolution, which would not have happened without the voodoo priest, without the mambos, the hogans, the bokor, which were strong at that time. Because understand, the mambos and the hogans and the priestess and the Orisha priests and all of that, again, mirrored back the oppressor's political structure, class structure, which was not available to everyone and is still not available to everyone, which gives you a glimmer of where I'm going with this. So if you are not with means, if you are not wealthy, if you don't have finances to placate the right pockets within these systems, as an African born here in the U.S., you have no validation. Because of this conditioning over time, since the Haitian Revolution, because remember, understand, the only successful slave revolution, it shook the New World to its core. That's what led to Jim Crow. That's what led to lynching. That's what led to increased laws and governance during the time of enslavement to prevent our mobility, to prevent our coming together, to prevent our organizing. That fear of that successful revolution ever taking place again. Follow me now, because I put a lot of thought into this. This is well constructed. So that did not happen anywhere else as uniquely as it took place here in America. Cubans were allowed to maintain some African connection. Brazil was allowed to maintain some African connection. Haiti was allowed to, by force, to maintain that connection. That took place everywhere except the U.S. We are a new tribe. We are a unique tribe set aside from any other African structure, any place else in the world. And if I can digress just for a minute, as African Americans, conscious, revolutionary, spiritual, whatever, we tend to overuse, graphically generalize and overuse that word African, as if we are all one unit, all one people, all working together. That's a very romanticized notion, but it's not the reality. So we have many tribes, even here, as they have there. Even if we take one small section, Togo, you're still talking about many languages, many ethnic groups, many paths, many traditions, which form a certain balance, but still maintain their connection, if you will. Their root, that was stripped from the African American. So it built up a psyche for which many of us are still working on now, which invalidates us as true Africans without coming through somebody else. So we're spending thousands of dollars going back to Ifaland and Yoruba and Ghana and Nigeria and Haiti and Puerto Rico and Cuba, trying to regain a sense of authentic connection to our root, which is, let me be clear, which is divine, all blessed. I am not suggesting in any way that that should not be happening. It is important to go back. It is important to reconnect. It is important to follow the trail of tears, if I may use that, okay? But what we have not done, which was done in Cuba, which was done in Haiti, which was done in Brazil, which is done in Nigeria, which is done in Ghana, is to validate our own structure outside of that which is Christian, the church, and Islamic, which neither is truly ours. Are you following me? Which neither is truly ours. Yeah, we've got these mega churches and the Church of God in Christ and the Southern Baptists over here, and we got that, but it ain't ours. Yeah, your name might be on the mortgage, it might be a black congregation, it might be in a black neighborhood, but you are still under somebody else's spiritual authority. When it comes to what book do you use? What do you use to validate that? So for us, specifically this tribe I'm talking to right now, born here in this USA, who seek that connection, understand that is our strength, being this uniquely formed tribe, but it's also our weakness. It is also our vulnerability. And even if you believe the Bible a little bit, look at it philosophically. It said everybody would sleep with the great whore. And we're here. If we are not a part of that whore, then we're that whore's servants. And these servants still seek validation from the master. Now, understand your history. There was a point when they had to put another system into place. The man wasn't in the fields necessarily with you. There was the overseer. Sometimes the overseer was the man, but a lot of times the overseer became your brother and your sister. Let's go back to Cuba and Luke Comey. The Catholics knew to put black and Hispanic, and I hate using those words because when we talk about history and what went on then, it's not accurate. But you all know what I'm talking about. They knew to put black and brown, let's use those words, into place because the slave would be more open to following their direction. That helped to save Ifa, Yoruba, Voodoo, Fon, Akan, all these traditions which may have otherwise been completely wiped out during slavery, but it also helped to solidify the tradition of godparenting, of coming in under the authority of someone else in the tradition, and ultimately put into place this money machine for which many of us are struggling to get out from under. I can't tell you the amount of mail, the amount of contacts people make with me just based on that issue. I spent my money. I didn't get my service. I didn't get what I was supposed to receive. The initiation had to be redone. I had to go here. I had to go there. I had to go to Haiti. I had to go to Nigeria. I had to go to all seeking validation for something that cannot be validated outside of spirit, truth, and real manifestation. Understand, this is a trap for us as African Americans. And I'm going to use a term that's going to make some of you angry, as enslaved Africans in America. Because many of you are still enslaved. Oh, you claim consciousness. You claim Naturu. You claim Ifa. You claim all these exotic African paths of how we interrelate with one another, how we communicate with one another, what we allow to be done to us, ourselves, and each other solidifies our re-enslavement, that we are still yet to be free. Now, here I was set to throw myself into debt to receive something outside of the country, only to find out they don't have no respect for you, okay, African-American, born here in the States. Many of them see us as a slave still, at the best. It's a long list of lesser things that some people would say that we are and have accepted that we are and have become. But when it manifests in your religion and how you view yourself, how you view other black people, we have a problem. We have a problem. And it's fueling the death. It's fueling the murder rate. It's fueling the lack of respect that we have for each other and ourselves and our bodies, our temple, what we're willing to put into those bodies and those temples, how we're willing to waste our funds, and how we're willing to continue to overlook, disrespect, refuse to support our own. This opens up another issue for me, which is when you are black, especially a black man, because some people, even still with the church and the whole male dominant thing, in the day we live in now, some people are still more amenable to a black woman in spirituality and religion than a black man. I know that's not always the case, but it's more common today. So that's why I say that. But we, even now, are in a place where if we are allowed to do something other than preach or play the piano and direct the choir, my former life of being a minister of music, then we are only accepted if what we have we give away. We don't value it. Once we put a value to it, the way others put a value to theirs, then we somehow fall into error. Some of you may recall my humorous story about my Parisian stalker, white voodoo priest, female, who feels totally arrogantly, self-absorbedly in her right to stalk me about what I'm doing, how much I'm charging for what I'm doing, having very little knowledge. Remember now, this woman is in Paris, never been to New Orleans, never been to the States, doesn't know what's going on here. All she knows is that my black face is on the internet. And in her mind, it should not be, and she ain't happy about it. And unfortunately, too many of my brothers and sisters, you all have been hoodwinked now into singing that song and becoming a part of that choir and doing it under the mask of consciousness. Again, I started this show out. We birthed spirituality and religion. So to now trash it all, because of Christianity, because of Islam, because of the Jews, because of our relationship and our history and what has happened with them, to trash it all now because of that is foolish. And it's exactly what they want to happen, so that we now continue to see churches fall into disrepair, exist in the poorest of communities, and suck out what resources are available. And those that are successful at doing so then become the mega church that moves out somewhere to the side of the highway and builds a brand new temple somewhere away from that community and never go back to return to feed that, to keep that legacy of evolution, if you will, going and moving forward. So I woke up with a new mission this morning. I have to tell you, and it has always been sort of my purpose But now it's become a mission that New Orleans voodoo, hoodoo, obeah, survive in the face of great challenges from within and without. And I appreciate those of you who understand the mission and continue to support the mission with your finances, by buying things from my store, with your comments, you know, with your love. I'm humbled and honored by that. But this is a new day. We are in a war. It almost sounds cliche to even say, but we are in a war, indeed, where our very lives, my very life, is at stake for living, for inhabiting space, for daring to commit to publicly, verbally, my still doing this in secret, still doing this on the down low. Well, I don't want my friends to know, my family to know, my coworkers to know, you know, that I'm serving another God, that I'm recognizing a religion of our ancestors outside of that which the oppressive system would have us to continue to embrace. And to take this position has cost me greatly, greatly, which is why, dear elder, I'm not able to throw myself into debt now and do that which is being asked financially. And I wouldn't dare ask anyone else to do. It's just unconscionable to me that we're put in that position to, again, reinvest outside of our own communities to gain validation. I have run out of time. I do appreciate each and every one and your divine, all-blessed presence. I am going to go to the phone lines. Hopefully I can answer some calls before Block Talk Radio. That's us all. Area code 510, your line.
Peace and blessing. This is Goddess Mother. And I appreciate you, and everything you said has been on point. For some reason, I was able to find out that you did the show today, because I usually don't, really, go online a lot unless I'm doing something silly, you know. But everything you said is exact and true and right, and you almost had me in tears. I was in here listening to it on the phone, talking to myself about what you were saying, and you are right and exact. And there are going to be those who are offended and who don't agree with you, but what you said is completely on point. Because I've even been guilty of going outside of who we are as Africans in America to receive validations from others. And they don't respect us. They don't respect us. Absolutely not. So I appreciate this show more than any show you've ever done. And I am so glad you let it be known and you put it out there.
Yeah,
thank you.
You know,
thank you.
I appreciate you. All is a blessing. I'm going to move on, okay? Erico 06, I'm going to give you an opportunity before they cut us off. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Root Woman calling from Seattle. How are you?
Peace and blessing. I just saw your instant message.
Thank you. Wonderful show. Wonderful show. Hope we can continue this discussion. I was at a conference in New Orleans in August of 2010 and kind of got a room full of silence. I was supposed to be presenting for an hour when I told my brethren that we were acting as elitist people, talking to one another and talking about Pookie and Buquisha and how their pants were sagging and wasn't reaching out in the community to make a difference. And that I was really tired of that. And for all of the special names and all that, we have begun to look like Renaissance Fair for Black people. So we really got to quit all this dressing up and picking up new funny outfits and really get back to what's important. And we know what's important, but so forth and so on. I would love to continue this. I have a lot to say about the subject. My hope is that we can commune on this and come together. I feel as though any trips I take anywhere to find out anything about my Agung is restoration for my family line. It's not because we're missing something. It's almost if someone is holding my great-grandmother's chest of drawer and I go to get it. It is not a matter of me lacking anything, but I understand that consciousness, and the temple I run is dedicated to having a sanctuary for people to avoid financial and sexual exploitation. So I work very hard and fight a lot for that. So, okay, that's all I have time to say, but I love you. I love your work. Long live New Orleans Voodoo. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe. Give thanks. Now, God is cheap. I'm going to throw me the tea.
I'm still here.
Because I wasn't even sure if people were going to really even receive what I had to say today.
Oh, honey, if they didn't, something wrong.
But I had an issue last night, and it sent me over the edge. And when I got home, and I got before my spirit closet, and I just sort of I fell into a stare. You know what I'm talking about. And before I knew it, a few hours had passed. But I had been on this journey, and spirit spoke to me and said, look, I'm making you see something clearly, so that you can bring voice to it. Because there's too many of us here in the States who are in this position right now. And it doesn't matter if you already, you know, have received some initiations, if you've been in it 10 years, 30 years, 3 years, you know, if you are committed, it's an ongoing, lifelong process. So we're constantly trying to, you know, learn something new, as the Root Woman just said. Reconfirm something that we already have. But the misunderstanding, the miseducation is that we don't have it, that we need it, and that we need to go to someone outside of ourselves to do it. And many of us have put ourselves into great debt, great emotional harm, physical harm, sexual harm, situations of disrespect, all to gain this elusive thing. And so if it can happen to me after being in this tradition for over 30 years, then it can happen to anyone under the sound of my voice who is still seeking, who is still looking for themselves and for their family and for their community. And I will continue this topic tomorrow at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, my live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. The show page is www.blogtalkradio.com/the Divine Prince. Remember to put that hyphen between the and Divine Prince. I look forward to being here with you tomorrow in this sacred space. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Azul.